Internationally known novelist Mary Doria Russell will soon have a new work of fiction on the bookstore shelves. I got a chance recently to talk with her in advance of a speaking appearance at Drake University in Des Moines.
I am talking with Mary Doria Russell, who's written some acclaimed books that have been filed in various parts of the library.
The bookstores don't know what to do with me.
I will tell you a secret. I've been a sci-fi reader since I was a little kid, and so coming across The Sparrow and Children of God in science fiction was a wonderful thing, but you're not really from a science fiction background. In fact, if I understand correctly, anthropology.
I am from a science background. That's right, yes.
How does that
although, mean? You know, yeah. There are those in paleoanthropology who will say that what everybody writes is science fiction, but they're bitter, cynical people for the most part, the ones who say things like that.
Really? Well, we do think of, you know, people in the scientific lines as being sort of dry and factual. And
when I sent in my scientific papers, and I have a long CV, I was quite a good scientist. Went to the University of Michigan, then, you know, did international research and all of that. But I would always get this comment back from the editors of the peer-reviewed journals. This was great fun to read, but can you take out all the good parts? I learned how to just squeeze it all of the personality and the charm out of everything I wrote. And so one of the great things that kept me going while I was trying my first fiction, which turned into The Sparrow, was the idea that I could be funny. I could set a scene, you know, I could make snide comments. And it was just so wonderful to have that freedom. So, yeah, I mean, yes, you're entirely correct. We don't write like that in the biz, and that was part of the charm of leaving science and going into fiction.
And conversely, what did anthropology develop in you that made you, what positively has contributed to your writing career?
Well, it could not be a better background for a novelist, I think, because anthropology is a subject rather than a discipline. It's the human species in all its variety and all of its horror and charm, and you come at it from many different directions, from the past and from the present and people who are alive today and people who have been dead for 5 million years. And if you are doing ethnography, you learn to see a cultural system as though you were a native as much as possible, while also maintaining the kind of objective idea of, you know, how does this work? What's the system doing? What are the payoffs for people within it? And what provides their motives for what they do? So you're analyzing what people do, and you're paying attention to what they think about what they do at the same time.
It occurs to me as well that in both science fiction and what's called historical fiction, you place your characters within a large sweep of some kind of entire, perhaps made-up reality that has to be fairly plausible. You're used to dealing with great hunks of time already.
Absolutely, yeah. It really did make a huge difference to me. My time scale is really very long. And I do think, you know, I've written now 2 science fiction novels, The Sparrow and Children of God, and I've written Thread of Grace, which is about the, it's a historical thriller about the Jewish underground near Genoa during the Nazi occupation of Italy. And my 4th novel is also historical, about the 1921 Cairo Peace Conference with T.E. Lawrence and Winston Churchill and Lady Gertrude Bell. In all of those cases, I am writing about a time and a place that are not my own. So I have to squeeze out of my mind the things that I know about from after, say, 1921. I only know about what people in northwestern Italy would know about the war in 1943. I have to both enlarge what I know about personally, and at the same time keep myself from acting as though I know how it's all going to turn out. Because the people at the time don't know. They don't know where those trains are going. They don't know what's a rumor and what's true. They are confined to what they can see and feel under the circumstances. So in both cases, I'm working with somebody else's culture, somebody else's language, somebody else's life.
Like radio, the people who write book blurbs have to take, you know, this magnificent reality that is a whole book and years of time and adventures and life and death and sum it up in a paragraph.
You want me to say Jesuits in space, don't you? Yeah. That the Sparrow is Jesuits in space. It really is. And that sounds really stupid until you start thinking about it, and then it starts to make quite a bit of sense.
You know, some history in Northern Italy might make people say, I don't hear happily ever after.
I don't hear magic or chocolate
or anything like that.
No,
oh, yeah,
Northern Italy is a really interesting case. 85% of the Jews who were alive in Italy at the beginning of the Nazi occupation were still alive at the end. It was an 85% survival rate.
That's amazing.
It is the highest survival rate in occupied Europe by miles. Typically, 10 to 12% of the Jewish population survived the Holocaust, and that includes the people who were on death's door in the camps and just hadn't had time to be worked to death yet when the Allies liberated the camps. In Italy, despite the fact that they were Germany's ally for 3 years, that they had their own anti-Semitic race laws, that they stepped up to the plate, and the Italians went to bat for their own Jewish neighbors and friends, and they also took in thousands of foreign refugees, and 85% of them survived.
That's amazing.
That's what A Thread of Grace is about, and it is just, it's an astounding story, and historically as accurate as I could make it.
It is. Well, that was going to be my next question. It's sort of audacious to take real stuff and then weave your own imaginary events amongst it.
Yeah, I'll tell you a story. When I got the contract for that book, I had the prologue and two-thirds of the first chapter. That's all I had. And the night that I got the contract, I dreamt that I was being hanged publicly. I was standing on a scaffold looking out at a crowd of expectant people waiting for the bottom to drop out.
Wow.
You don't have to be a shrink to figure that one out, do you?
Yeah,
it was terrifying. It was really, really scary to take on a subject like that because it's living memory. And it's not just living memory. It is painful, terrifying, nightmare-inducing memory for many people. And I had to get it right. I spent 7 years on that novel.
Good heavens.
But I get email every day from people who were part of the armed anti-fascist resistance in Italy, from survivors, from the children of those people, from veterans of the Allied, and they tell me, you got that right. Just one letter like that would have made it worth all of the effort. The very newest one just got accepted by the publisher a couple weeks ago. It'll be out in March of 2008 by Random House. And that was called Dreamers of the Day.
You've said it's about the Cairo Peace Conference.
With T.E. Lawrence is one of the main... That was an 11-day stretch in 1921. And a handful of people invented the modern Middle East. It's their world. We just live in it.
Mary Doria Russell has published The Sparrow and Children of God, novels designated science fiction that deal with the same storyline and list of characters, and also a historical novel titled Thread of Grace. Her fourth novel, which has not yet been identified with a title, will also be a work of historical fiction.